War Eagle, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Second Takes Podcast. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever and whenever you may be listening to us. Big shout out to War Eagle Sports Radio, where you hear us each and every time that we get a chance to gather around this microphone and talk about Auburn sports and give our opinions and thoughts. And as always, you can reach us at Second Takes on Twitter, secondtakespodcast@gmail.com if you want to get a hold of us that way as well. Ben, my good friend, my good buddy, how you doing?
Oh, we're good buddies now. I'm doing pretty great. I brought people donuts, so everyone should love me now.
Yes, yeah, it's a good time to mention. Unofficially, we are brought to you tonight by
Mountain Dew.
And Daylight Donuts.
Serving you through the daylight hours, but not the nighttime hours.
So we should not be dragging at all.
No, I feel great. 10 hours of work and then coming here on some Mountain Dew. Let's do this thing.
All right. We've got a special guest with us. Why don't you introduce who's with us tonight?
We do. People who are fans of my podcast, Unimportant Radio, will recognize this man. He's been on a couple episodes, but he's also an Auburn fan just like us and went to Auburn with me and was a roommate with me there. So we know each other literally too well forever. So please welcome Mr. William Joseph Randall Bowen.
Hi, everybody. Use my full name.
Yes, yeah. Can I give out your social, too?
No, not.
Phone number.
Yeah, right.
Social. And debit card number is... Yeah. But yeah, welcome to our little humble
show.
Thanks
for having me. I appreciate the invite.
Yeah, you're welcome for now.
For now.
Trial run for now.
He worked out on the other show. We'll see how he does here.
Yeah.
Also want to give another shout out to somebody I've been working with. Go check out the folks at collegeandmagnolia.com. I write a little bit about softball and some other things there, and there's some other good writers there that... most of you that follow podcasts, you'll recognize a few names right there. But some good articles that keep updating daily. So, good place to go.
Yeah.
Shameless plugs.
I love shameless plugs. They're the heart of America.
There you go. Just want to begin tonight with our segment we always start with, the Cube. Here we go. Got some recruits to talk about tonight. Let's start in the world of basketball.
Oops!
Real quickly, how awesome is it that basketball and football are competing for attention, guys?
They're not really so much competing as they're just like gaining all the attention.
Well, it's like you get a football article, and then there's news about a basketball recruiter or some Bruce Pearl's doing something, you know.
Bruce is loose. I mean, what else can we say? He's done more in, what is it, it's been 2 weeks now since he's been allowed to be free in the world?
I think roughly, yeah.
Yeah, it's like whenever you see, it reminds me, whenever you see an action movie, and this villain's been locked away for years, and you're like, oh, he's not going to be as strong as he was. No, he's still just as strong as he was when you let him out of that cage. And that's what Bruce Pearl is to the other schools. To us, he's our hero. But everyone else, he is the big evil bad guy, and he's coming for it. He's going to destroy your planet.
How about we are sitting right now with a top five recruiting class in basketball?
Yeah, we are.
Never would have thought I'd hear that for Auburn.
Good things.
Well, basketball-wise.
Basketball, yeah.
Good things are coming. There have been actually several articles that were written that with the guys that he's already brought in, the guys that are coming in this class that's ranked, you know, fifth in the nation. There a lot of people thinking that Bruce Pearl has Auburn ready to win this year.
If that happens, like I said, I've already said it once, and I'll say it again. I've got the bandwagon. I will paint the bandwagon. I will pull it in my vehicle. Let's go.
But the two basketball recruits that really kind of grabbed the headlines this week. Let's start with the one with the unusual name, a four-star guard, New Williams.
New?
N-U. New Williams.
It's new to me. Ha-ha. Had to get that out of my system.
Wow.
Anyway. Don't wow me. You know it's coming.
But when was the last time you saw this many? That makes, what, three or four in the last week or so, four-star basketball players committing to Auburn?
Because he got, what, two within 3 days originally.
Yeah.
And which one was really within 12 hours. Not even a full stinking day had passed.
Right.
He gets this far along, and now we're already, I mean, boom. I'm buying the stock.
Well, you guys were there. Yeah. In Auburn, went to school there.
Right.
Could you have ever imagined, one, you've got the new arena, top of the line facilities there, the new wellness kitchen they put in for the athletes, and then you've got Bruce Pearl, and you've got this kind of excitement around the basketball program.
And back when we were there, we went to a basketball game. It was just it was fun. We got a couple bucks.
It was free for students. Free for students. It was like $5 for,
get some swag while we're there,
watch a game. It was, even SEC games were, it was fun.
And this was back when, Noah was playing at Florida. Right. We'd see him come and just, we were like, he dominated us, but then we'd say, well, why don't you come play us in football?
Well, see what happens. The thing, too, is we went to Auburn basketball games for the opponent. It seemed more, who they were playing than actually our own team. And it's...
Well, yeah, and don't get me wrong, we were cheering for Auburn, of course. Absolutely. Every point scored, we were happy, but...
But you were going to see the Floridas, the Kentuckys.
Right.
We were going for the quality of the opponent.
Or sometimes sometimes actually moderately impressive halftime shows.
What was it? I think Clemson one time we went to that had a...
They had a quick change artist.
Yep.
Yes, I remember that. Yeah, it was Clemson. That was really neat. But now we can say, heck with that magic show. I want to see some stinking basketball.
Right.
Yeah, I think it's, they're selling out the tickets just about as quickly, the quickest I've ever seen, I think, as far as basketball goes. And, I'm expecting, packed arena.
I will be looking to see them play University of North Alabama.
Yeah.
That's how it's going to be. Sure. And admittedly, because realistically, Auburn Arena is a little bit smaller by design than Beard Eaves was. Yeah, but it looks much better. If you've never been in the arena, do yourself a favor and go in there. It's beautiful.
Well, we went last year, remember, for the Alabama game.
We did go, and it was awesome. We had not a bad seat in the house, really. We
had a great time. And I think it's going to be an electric atmosphere. I think you've got a lot of people that are going to be there. The students should be just crazy. Mm-hmm. And if Bruce Pearl is able to put the kind of product that kind of goes with his name on the floor, we'll be competitive. Again, we've talked about this before. I don't know if we're a tournament team yet or not, but we should at least be competitive in the SEC for a while.
Yes, we should. And it's just going to be – that means after football season we won't have as much of a lull right after football season ends. We won't feel that as much of a deep depression. We'll have basketball to lift our spirits.
Right. Now, to go along with that four-star guard, I told you we had one more to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
How about a center, 7'1", Trayvon Reed, four-star center from out toward California, I think is where
– From California?
Yeah.
Wow.
That is committed, and he's coming – in the 2015 class.
I'll be fair, but people in California, they don't care as much about sports out here.
I mean, even just that distance of coming to Auburn for the recruitment class,
that's impressive.
That speaks a lot to Pearl.
Oh, yeah.
But my thing is, how long have we went with having guys that are 6'8", 6'9", that are playing under the basket? We're going to have a legitimate number 5.
Right. Oh, yeah. Legit. I mean, like I said, I'm assuming he wasn't recruited just for the height.
We know how old he is.
I'm not really sure.
Is he coming from
old enough?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
No, he's coming. I think he's probably coming out of high school and an AAU.
That's what I'm saying.
I would say he's going to get some prime people. And I know we've got I'm sure there's some JUCOs coming at some point.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
But that is, that really excited me when I saw that come across the. Come across the board there. Let's see if I can find. Yeah, well, actually, he is coming out. He's out of. I was completely wrong. He's actually out of Snellville, Georgia, Life Center Academy. 7'1", 218 pounds.
So he came out of Georgia. We moved to California at one point, and then.
Well, he was actually a recruit of. He actually signed with Maryland.
Oh, okay. But he's the recruit from Maryland. They turned around.
Yes.
Okay.
And I got him in a little bit of trouble. Is having to do some community service, I think, kind of work. But actually, he'll enroll in junior college in the fall, and he'll actually be eligible after Auburn's first semester ends in early December. We're talking about getting this guy in January for the final push in the SEC. Once we start the SEC conference games.
I'm trying to be as realistic as possible. I'm hoping he doesn't break any kind of rhythm or formula they've got going at that point. Hopefully he'll only help them.
I don't think
Bruce will do that. Yeah, I don't think they'll even play him if that was the case.
Right. But they're going to have to try. That's the thing.
Well, yeah. I think if he can come in and he makes an impact, he can get with the, get with the scheme that they've got.
Mm-hmm.
Then you might see him play, a few weeks after he gets there. But, yeah, I don't see if they've got a chemistry and something going.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Bruce is a smart enough coach. I don't think he messes with that.
He scares me. I saw him on campus with in cardboard cutouts just in some basketball shorts ready to go. I've never seen a man look so confident in basketball shorts.
And the other thing that we've got on the football end of things is we got a kicker.
Oh, yeah, I heard about
committed.
This.
Ian Shannon. Now, he is from Georgia, and they're talking about holding him off until maybe 2016 class, which means he should come in and redshirt.
Oh, so he had committed to the 2015 class, right?
Yeah.
I think so, but I think they're going to maybe going to try to hold him over to the 2016 class and bring him in, redshirt him that year, and then let him be eligible to play. I think by that point, Daniel Carlson will be a senior.
Okay.
So it should be a very natural progression. This guy, last year, I think they said he went something for like 16 for 19, and most of those were between 40 and 49 yards.
16 for 18.
There we go.
Yep.
Look at you being the fact checker.
Oh, yeah.
I like you doing that.
You know, and most of them, I think it said he kicked between 40 and 49 yards.
That's
in high school.
Yep.
That's pretty darn impressive.
62 of 73 kickoffs went for touchbacks.
So I'll take it.
Oh, yeah.
Got some distance.
Yeah, we got a big one there.
I'll take it.
Because like we mentioned it last time, we got spoiled by our kicking game.
We did.
The past few years.
Yeah.
And Daniel Carlson. We'll talk about Carlson. When we get into the Arkansas review, but I've got good things to say about Mr. Carlson. I enjoyed the fact that we have a coaching staff that places that kind of value on special teams.
Mm-hmm.
That they're willing to take a scholarship that they could easily use somewhere else and say, we're going to get a quality kicker.
Yeah.
Because we care about, you know, having good special teams and we understand flipping the field and how important that is.
Yeah.
So that's awesome. I wanted to mention that. So now we get into the Arkansas review.
Yeah.
And interested to hear you guys' thoughts about it. Being our predictions, we weren't that far off.
No.
Auburn, as ESPN says, hangs on.
Yes,
To beat Arkansas 45-21, and I'm not going to say
Bama dominated too. Is that what they did?
Something like that. I'm not going to say a whole lot about it because I know lots of people probably already said plenty about that, about ESPN's take on that. But I remember seeing it come across, and somehow we hung on.
24 points is hanging on, guys.
24 point victory.
ESPN breaking news.
What did Georgia say about them and Clemson? Did they hang on to Clemson too?
No, they impressed against Clemson.
Yeah, it was something like that. Yeah, we were the only ones that won by 24, and they said we hung on.
The reason I asked that, so I thought Georgia and Clemson were the same, so I thought it was also 45-21.
It was.
And so, yeah, just to compare the two.
Well, and here's the thing, because Clemson gets overhyped every year. I fully believe this. As long as Dabo's there, that's always going to happen.
Right.
And people don't listen to me, and then sure enough, they get beaten. Last year when they played Florida State, they're like, oh, it's going to be close. I said, no, Florida State's going to blow them out of the water. What happened? Florida State blew them out of the water. I said that was going to happen with Georgia and Clemson. I picked Georgia over Clemson. Granted, I admittedly thought it'd be a little bit closer, but Georgia killed them. That's just the fact of the matter.
So we know the final score. What are you guys' thoughts? Just some our top performers. Of course, Jeremy Johnson started the game.
Mm-hmm.
243 yards and 2 touchdowns. Rushing Cameron Artis Payne, 26 carries for 177 and a touchdown. Duke Williams, nine receptions for 154 yards and a touchdown. So, guys, you know, as you watch this game, you know, as you looked at it, what stood out to you? What were your impressions?
Well, for me, it was just both Duke and Cam Harris Payne, they were earning their keep. They really were. Even in just the first half alone, if you look at it, I mean, Melvin Ray scored the first touchdown, but after that, they were just making these big plays afterwards. I'm like, Duke, first of all, Duke will catch anything near his atmosphere. No, it doesn't matter how it's thrown, where he's at. If it's in his general direction, he's got a gravity field, he's going to pull it in.
Right.
And then Cameron Spring, he's not exactly like Trey Mason, but he will fight for yards, and that's good. That's what we need.
Right.
And I really do think he's really, because he kind of took a back seat last year. When they put him in, he did okay. Scored an SEC championship. But this year, I really do think he's wanting to fight. He wants to prove his worth. And I say more power to him. Keep on doing what you're doing.
So I was impressed with Johnson, you know, coming in, you know, because Marshall was out the first half.
Mm-hmm.
And just to come in and really take control of the offense like he did.
Mm-hmm.
And make some good plays. Not just on the ground, but also through the air.
It was.
I was disappointed. I saw time and time again, speaking about Johnson, I thought his arm was really good. His accuracy was great. I really would have liked to have seen him kept the ball a time or two. it seemed like they were able to key off of Cameron Artis Payne, and it may have been by design.
I think it was, because you think about it, he's your backup. You don't want to get backup
nerves too.
Maybe so.
Nerves, because he started games before. Well, not started, but played majority of games, yeah, but they weren't SEC openers.
Right.
They were against Washington, something or another. I forget.
But I kept watching, and even when I watched the replay the other day, I made a point to really focus on when he would give it to Cap or when he would give it to Corey Grant.
Mm-hmm.
And there were many times where you could see at the mesh point,
mm-hmm.
the defense would just automatically just kind of flow with the running back. And I'm like, man, one time, you just pull it out, and if he comes around, that's a 6'5", 245-pound guy coming at you. It's like Cam Newton.
Yeah, it really is.
And he runs really well. I mean, the times we've seen him run before, he's got decent speed, and that's a nightmare as a defensive back or even a linebacker for Arkansas to see that guy coming around the end.
Right. Though, I mean, because you think about it, though, it's almost an apples and oranges thing, because Marshall's more of a runner in his mindset. Johnson's got more of throwing in his mindset. He's a throwing
absolutely.
Quarterback.
Right. Well, I mean, just looking at the stats here, he's 3 for 243 passing yards. I mean, that was almost half of Auburn's total yardage in the
mm-hmm.
game. I mean, so that's, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And easily.
Big play.
I mean, it didn't look, and he wasn't straining to get it in.
No,
there.
No,
no,
I mean,
good
it,
protection.
It looked natural. And he was in the pocket fine. He, you know, he read the field well.
It was weird, because I think, though, towards the end of the first half, I think, I mean, granted, I knew they were going to put Marshall in. I said, so I think it went last one half. But, I mean, I will say towards the end, because, you know, he could have scored again towards the end of the first half. I will think he started getting more inside his own head, a little bit ahead of himself.
Right.
That's where Nurse started taking over, because Arkansas started catching up, and so he wanted to rush. I'm sure they'll work on that with time. It's honestly good that we see it now,
mm-hmm.
to be
right.
honest, because that's a trouble area. But as long as they get that worked out, there's nothing to worry about.
Any other thoughts?
Second half defense.
Much improved.
Out. Yeah. I mean, what was it, 2 yards or
two rushing yards, 61 yards running.
In the second half, 61 yards total, I think,
yeah.
is what they had in the second half. I mean, talk about just – we saw this time and time again last year.
Mm-hmm.
Just Ellis Johnson, you know, and a lot of it was, I think, first game, feeling out where everybody's at. I think maybe Ellis Johnson tried some things
mm-hmm.
to see what would work. And then in the second half, it's almost like he backed off a little bit and just let the guys play.
Right.
Yeah.
And he said, you know what, let's go to more of a base, get the pressure that you can, and guys, just go make a play. And what do we see off of that? But an interception return for a touchdown.
Oh, yeah.
Which, by the way, I called last week.
Oh, yeah, you did, dude. Yeah, you did. Well, you know, because Johnson said in the first half he felt that they were playing soft.
Yeah.
And they were, because they were leaving giant gaping holes.
Oh, yeah. And they were just running through it.
They were just running right through it. And I was freaking out, you know, because especially when you're up in the stands where I was, like, you could see these holes. And I'm like, guys, please cover this up. Please cover this up. What? It's the same thing over and over.
Well, if I had to watch one more trip set with them running that counter
mm-hmm.
with the fullback coming and picking up, like, the unblocked guy coming up the middle, and then there being a transfer truck size hole for the running back to go through. I was visibly frustrated.
I could feel Bielema smirk from across the field. I just wanted to slap him.
Yeah. Speaking of Bielema, who thought it was a good idea to wear a jacket the entire time?
Bielema! Well, he's it runs with bulimia and, you know, that whole thing.
Sorry, sure. That was superstition. I don't know if there's any validity to that, but...
Okay. Was he just trying to sweat the pounds away? I mean, like, seriously.
Well, if it's superstition, it did not work.
It's time to lose the jacket.
Yeah, yeah.
And you think you do that, you know, once you start kind of getting touched, like, by the fourth quarter, jacket's off.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like, I mean, we're down 40, you know, 45-21. It's just time to jacket
off. I think on the pick six, I lose the jacket.
Yeah.
On the pick six, I told you this the other day. I summoned the power of Grayskull on that one. I was so excited on that. I was like,
We said we were going to mention this a little bit, but Daniel Carlson in the, the special teams game, Quan Bray returning, made some people miss. I think he did a really good job back there. Of course, he's got experience. It's not like he's not done that before.
Yeah.
And I think Daniel Carlson missed the very first one,
which I guess you
smacked the.
It had to be nerves.
I think that was nerves, and I think if I was him, in my mind, I'd be like, well, there goes my perfect record.
But you got it out of the way the first kick, and then that second one that he had later on in the game, I mean, he looked like he'd been doing it all his life.
And he kicked the punt through the uprights at one point, too.
Yeah.
And
just to make up for it.
And my friend Michael was next to me, he was like, that counts for something, right? That gives us a few extra points.
The first punt, they snap it back to him. I think he kicks it 62 yards.
Oh, yeah.
And we're not talking it bounced and rolled 62 yards. We're talking in the air.
With hang time, just
62
crazy.
Yards.
I think what we were worried because and here's the thing, it didn't go wide on that first kick. It bounced off the upright.
It smacked the upright.
It's not like he just missed it like way one side.
It was just a teensy bit of nerves,
right.
And I think he'll be fine. Sure. I really do.
I agree with Chris here, too, just to get that out of your system. Yeah, that first one, okay, that's your mulligan, and then go
clank it off the upright.
Yeah, walk it off. We're good.
Get it out of your system and go on. Wow, how the game changed in the second half.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about the defense. Nick Marshall comes in the game, I mean, and automatically.
There was a new vibe in there.
Mm-hmm.
There really was.
I could hear it, and yes, Ben, we know you were there.
Yes.
But when Nick Marshall,
I didn't see him.
When Nick Marshall ran the touchdown in, I mean, you heard the crowd,
mm-hmm.
you know, just louder and louder as he got closer. You know, it seemed like the atmosphere, you tell us, you were there. It seemed like the atmosphere changed when Nick took the field.
The atmosphere changed because there was a greater sense of anticipation. Like, hey, this has been going all right for us so far, but here comes the real show.
Right.
You know, you saw the Rock Band before you know friggin' Motley Crue came out. You saw them. You're like, they're all right. They could go far one day. Here comes Motley Crue playing Girls, Girls, Girls. And you're like, let's do this.
Right. Well, you notice, you know, going back again, watching it. You know, live and then on the replay, and Will may chime in on this as well. But going back and watching it, you again saw the defense they had to account
right.
for Marshall mm-hmm. and his running ability and the things that he does. Automatically, Cap had more room.
Right.
Corey Grant around the end had more space.
Well, they were
to probably work
said
with.
For Marshall there that they were focused on him. So, okay, we got to stop. You know, we got to stop the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
We saw him do this all of last year,
mm-hmm.
and then that left gaps. For the others.
And remember, last year's playbook was beginner mode.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was easy. We can hit you 1,000 times. You won't die mode in a game. This is now expert mode. We're going to kill you in a million different ways. We're that player on World of Warcraft that doesn't have a life. That's how strong our playbook is.
And Wilson, since you're new here, one of the things that we've been asking most of our guests, mm-hmm. and now we have actual football footage to kind of prove this, when you put... When Nick Marshall or Jeremy Johnson, really doesn't matter, good running backs, good offensive line, and then when you have those receivers, Duke Williams and Sammy Coates,
mm-hmm.
We saw Melvin Ray make a fantastic play to shake off a safety and,
mm-hmm.
and run it in.
And we got introduced to Blue Thunder.
Yes.
Shout out to my boy.
How do you defense these guys? I mean, this is – if they get any better, if they do what – You know, teams typically do, which is their biggest improvement, is week one to week two.
Mm-hmm. Poor San Jose State.
Who stop? I mean, but how do you stop, you know, this sort of offensive output? I mean,
right.
You know, I said before we started, Rhett Lashley graded them out at a C+, B-, and they had almost 600 yards worth of offense.
So really, I mean, okay, so they have, you know, they have the running backs, they have the receivers. Really, to me, the only way to defend against it is to never let it get off the ground. It's to, you know, pressure the quarterback, rattle the quarterback, you know, almost, you know, mind games, basically, because you know as well as I do,
mm-hmm.
sports are physical, but they're also mental. And if you disrupt someone's mental game, then the physical game will decline from there. That would be my first, you know, if I was a coach, in my super professional opinion, would be to pressure the quarterback as much as possible. But in doing that, you're going to risk, you know, like I said, you've got receivers on the ends, you've got running backs, you're going to leave somebody open doing that. But that's almost a risk you have to take is, you know, first just
I think the question for defensive coordinators, do you have good enough personnel to go single coverage if you roll a safety down?
Yeah.
Would
not.
You're playing with fire if you do that.
Yeah.
I mean, Duke Williams had one-on-one matchups, and he whipped everybody.
Yeah. He schooled them, like, mercilessly. He summer schooled them.
And then you saw the corner blitz off the edge. Melvin Ray takes it 62 yards.
Uh-huh.
I mean,
yeah.
You know, Sammy Coates had one, I mean, within his hands in the end zone that, you know.
It's just a little bit high.
Like, I think for an offense with so many weapons, you have to – almost take your defense in the same mindset. Yeah. We've got to hit them however we can, as much as we can, and
right. You have to
it's almost like throwing stuff at the wall, seeing what sticks. And
but it doesn't seem, you know, watching all the different things that Nick Marshall went through last year, all mm-hmm. the adversity. I mean, at 4th and 18, and he throws a bomb down the middle of the field mm-hmm. that we know is the prayer of Jordan Hare. I mean, how do you rattle a guy like that? I mean, he almost when he goes into game mode, mm-hmm. you know, it's almost like he just gets this glassed over.
And sometimes you can't. Sometimes, I mean, there's not an answer to it.
Look in his eyes, and he just never seems to be rattled.
Sometimes you just get beat.
and that's the kind of quarterback I want to see. Like, if you're having a bad game, if somebody's, like, you know, if they're sacking you, you're not being able to complete passes, if you're walking over to the sideline and just like, okay, now what do we try? And you're not getting mad, you're not throwing your helmet, you're just like, okay, now what do we do?
Well, I'm like some, you know, just mature quarterback, somebody who, you know, can take hits and keep going and not let it rattle and not slow them down. Like you said, go to the sideline, be like, all right, coach, that didn't work. What now?
This time I'm going to throw the ball to the left.
So overall, wrapping up the Arkansas talk, did you get out of the game what you thought you would see?
More or less. Defensively, not so much in the first half. Granted, we figured the score would be like that. We just didn't figure it would be all in the first half, then shut out in the second.
Right.
But like I said, biggest improvements are week one to week two. It helped that Threezy came back, for sure.
Sure.
I think defensively we'll see that. I don't think we've seen everything out of the offense we wanted to see it, and that's just simply because of Marshall only playing one half.
Right.
I do know they said his overall completion percentage was above what they were wanting him to shoot for on average.
Right.
So that's good, but if he's getting a C+, then obviously, and you know, obviously, Rhett knows the offense better than we do. I would say we'll see a little bit more against San Jose, but I think we'll truly see what their potential is coming around with Kansas State.
Mm-hmm. Will, how about you? Did you get out of the game what you thought you were going to get?
I did. I agree with Ben. You know, the defense in the first half had to make some adjustments. They did.
They did
extremely well, and I was glad about that too. Was Auburn staff in general, you know, we got everybody back. And that's a testament to Malzahn, too. He kept all of his staff, and that was fantastic. And seeing all that, you know, seeing the defense make the adjustments and improve the second half, seeing our offense go, you know, from a mostly run-based offense first year to being a multiple-threat offense now, I was very impressed with our – the team and how it looked.
Yeah, it was a great place to be. I mean, like I said, and just like the Arbiter, there wasn't.
Yeah, Ben, you were at the game. We got you.
I was. Hey, remember who gets to edit this thing? This guy.
We're playing a lot. We're having some fun with Ben.
I will say this, though. It's something I should point out, because remember last year, Auburn's only regular season loss came during a monsoon. You know, there was an hour and a half lightning delay, and it was still pouring after this delay was done. Did not affect them a bit.
No.
That's something to be happy about. Yeah. Does that mean, because it's supposed to rain again this Saturday?
They came out just like you hit the pause button.
Yeah,
and then just hit play again.
Yeah, I mean we were standing there. I'm standing there floating in my shoes watching this, and I'm like, man, they have slowed down a bit.
I'll say I got out of it what I thought. I'm kind of with you guys. I thought the scoring would be spread out over the all four quarters, and maybe most of their points might come kind of garbage points.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, watching it, the couple of times that I've seen it now, it seems like this team just picked up where 2013 left off. I was seeing a lot of the same things that we saw in the BCS championship game, in the SEC championship game. A lot of the same things, you know, offensively and defensively, you know, where on defense we were trying some things, but then we made adjustments and that was it.
Well, and, you know, and there's a lot of people that it's interesting. The smartest people say, well, we're probably the best team in the country. Auburn is probably the best team in the country. They just don't give us credit because of the schedule. That's it. Well, at this point, it looks to me like the toughest opponent we'll have is A&M.
Yeah.
And I'll give credit where credit's due. It was scary how easy they've been looking at South Carolina.
But we don't know a whole lot about South Carolina.
Well, that's true. Yeah, it's like, you know, and really week two is not the best.
Well, this week in the SEC, in week two, the only SEC game is, I forget who, somebody's playing Vanderbilt, but that's just it.
Ole Miss and Vanderbilt?
I think it's Ole Miss, yeah. Ole Miss and Vanderbilt.
That's going to be an ugly game.
That will be ugly. Poor Vanderbilt. I'm sorry. Of course, that decides whether or not Bo Wallace decides whether or not he wants to suck.
Yeah.
because
it's Boise State. Yeah, he may throw four or five picks like it did in the first game. And
good gosh, I was ugly too.
You know, Vandy but pulls a Vandy.
Everybody else is playing Division II school, so right. It's not a huge week in SEC football in general, and we're playing San Jose State. So,
speaking of San Jose State, thank you for bringing that up, Ben. Let's move on to our San Jose State preview. I'm going to ask you guys some questions. Let's see how much you know about San Jose State.
Jack.
Yep. San Jose State's mascot is?
It's a Trojan, isn't it?
Close.
Spartan?
The Spartans.
Dang it, Bobby.
Boom! Way to go, Will.
1-0.
Way to go, Will.
Oh, is it on now? No, it's on. No, it's on now. You threw down the gauntlet. Let's go.
All right. What conference do they play in? Does anybody know?
Sunbelt.
No.
Dang it.
I'm not even going to wager a guess on that.
The WAC.
The Mountain West.
Dang it. Yep.
They play in the Mountain West. They're in the West Division. Just as roughly as close as you can get, what is their all-time record?
Oh, all-time record.
Yeah.
How long have they been a school? Like 10 years?
Their first season was in 1892.
Good Lord.
Jeez. I don't know. Let's say 38-210.
No.
No, it's not that bad. It's not that bad. They do have a .502 winning percentage.
.502. Okay. So they're
slightly
over half.
Slightly above, yeah. Slightly above.
105 out of 103.
No, they played a lot more little games.
I'm going to say
really?
660 to 600.
No, you're too high.
Too high.
But that's
550 to 400.
471, 468, and 37.
Wow.
Oh, that is... oh, I forget about ties.
Yeah. Anybody want postseason bowl record? They've played in 9 of them. I'll give you that.
0-9.
Wow. Will has no confidence.
I'm going to say 4-5.
I'm going to say 6-3.
6-3. That's exactly right. With 16, get this, 16.
You don't get donuts anymore.
I'm 16 fine. Conference titles, by the way.
16?
Wow. 16 conference
Mountain,
titles.
Mountain West.
Who do they play? Like, is Hawaii in that conference? Like.
Ouch, Ben. I mean, I called them out 0-1.
You call yourself the Rainbow Warriors, you can get called out by me.
Wow. Anyone want to take a stab at maybe who they're... They have three rivals listed here. Anybody want to take a stab?
Three rivals?
Three rivals.
Plural?
Yeah, rivals, yes.
So, Hawaii?
Nope.
Wow.
Colorado?
No.
Yeah.
Fresno State?
Albuquerque.
Stanford?
Stanford?
San Diego State?
Stanford?
Stanford.
Does Stanford even acknowledge that? Obviously,
I said Stanford acknowledged the
Stanford. That's like Jacksonville State being like, hey, Auburn, you.
They've played 67 games against Stanford.
Wow.
That doesn't mean they were the...
They're 14-52. But they've played 67
games. Just keep smacking
games
into that tree, do they?
Yeah. Their closest one is probably... They have a winning record against San Diego State at 19-16.
San Diego.
Fresno State, they're 37-38.
Fresno Bulldogs. Did I get that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
State
yeah, hey, that's one for me.
Yeah, what's the question?
You just threw that one out there.
But that sounded smart.
So I thought that we might just kind of check your knowledge there of your opponent and see how,
good
guess how you were doing.
Hey, guess what, though? My first original answer was correct, and I didn't know Jack.
They actually won their bowl game. Their last bowl game they went to was 2012. It's the Military Bowl, and they beat Bowling Green.
You mean it wasn't the Domino's.com Bowl?
No.
Okay. That's the saddest thing I've ever heard. It's the Papa John's combo. It's just the website. It's not even that cool franchise.
Yeah, we're talking about.
And that's what you get on Unimportant Radio. Shambles plugs.
Yep. So,
yes. Can I give a shout out for something?
Sure, fire away.
Okay, so I know they're going to get mad at me for talking about it again, but I did want to give a shout out though, because when I went to Auburn, My friend, her parents decided to go to the game too, and he had a friend there who also had a friend. I get to do this friend of a friend. But he had a game day house in Auburn, which is, I want to be in that place in life, don't we all?
Mm-hmm.
So he said, you know, we could park there, and he also fed us, and he lived maybe 4 blocks from Jordan here, roughly. Let's say 5, actually. He fed us and everything, made ribs that were delicious. It's the best tailgating experience I could have asked for.
Sounds like an amazing time, man. Thanks for sharing it.
You're welcome. I took selfies. But I just want, if he's listening, it goes by the nickname Blackie, and he's white, just so anybody doesn't get offended for some reason. But
yeah.
But he was a sweet man. He and his wife were extremely, extremely nice. Greatest hospitality I've ever received. So if you're listening, thank you so much, and we're equal to you, because that was a wonderful hospitality that I received.
And why should you know more about San Jose State? Check this out. How about Jeff Garcia, NFL quarterback, San Francisco 49ers? 4 NFL Pro Bowl appearances came from
San Jose State. Oh, yeah, that was going to say.
Bob Latakur.
Bless you.
Among winningest high school football coaches in U.S. history, Coach De La Salle High Spartans did 151 consecutive wins from 1992 to 2003, if you've seen the movie When the Game Stands Tall.
Oh, he was that guy?
That's the coach.
Cool.
Oh, but he wasn't in Remember the Titans.
No.
That was Denzel Washington.
That's right, yes. This is Bob Latakur. So that's why you should probably know a little bit more about the San Jose.
Should the NBC logo shoot overhead?
The more you know.
And here's Notre Dame.
So let's get into it a little bit. Guys, San Jose State, what do you think?
Do I have to repeat myself again?
Sure.
62-3.
62-3.
We've seen this game.
I'm going to say 47-14.
Nope.
47-14. Yeah, you're a lot closer than Ben is. Ben is way.
Well, I mean, I think San Jose State. I mean, just what we just talked about. I mean, they may get it, and they're undefeated too.
I'm sure they're better than I'm giving them credit for, because you know this game's going to be on ESPN2.
And
you know,
it's not the kind of coach that's going to run up the score.
Why not? Why not run up the score?
I don't. With his scheme, I don't know if it's necessarily whether he wants to run it up or not. I mean,
it's just going
to
happen.
If you can't defend it,
yeah, it's like a bus going downhill with a parking brake.
But I mean, it's like
it's going to happen.
He would substitute, you know, bring people in, get some play time.
You bring Johnson in, you're still going to get dissected. So, unless you want to bring
in. I'm standing by my prediction.
Okay.
I know.
Well, you're a lot closer, like I said, you're a lot closer to me than Ben is.
Do we know what Vegas says? I want to know what Vegas says.
I think it's just a really ridiculous, like, 3 or 4 touchdowns. I think it's what they're. If they even put a line on it, it may not even be on the board.
I'm doing 4 touchdowns. Granted,
4 is good. Don't get me wrong.
I'm doing a 4 touchdown lead over here.
I'm gonna spoil it a little bit depending on when you hear this. My College and Magnolia predictions, one I'm gonna go with. I said 55-17. I think this is Auburn's offense scores early and often. I don't think there's we have a defense in the 4-2-5 that's built to play against this kind of team. They've got a pretty good quarterback. They were 6-6 last year. They throw the ball around. They're going to stretch the field a la Arkansas State, those sorts of teams, you know, that are going to try to throw it on you a lot. The West Virginia, if you saw the West Virginia offense, that kind of offense is the kind of we're going to face. Well, the 4-2-5 is built to take care of that. We're probably going to see maybe less Garrett, maybe more Robinson Therese, because he tends to play in that against those teams a little bit better. And so I think, like I said, it's going to be a lot of scoring early and often. Just like I said last week, even though I missed it, I think this is comfortably in hand by halftime, and we're probably seeing the people that they wanted to get tape on last week.
Mm-hmm.
They get tape on them this week in the second half.
Yeah,
you know the recruits that we had come in that are freshmen that they wanted to see the guys that are 2 and 3 on the depth chart. I think they rotate them in. I think they get some good tape offensively and defensively on them to kind of see where they're at going into the Kansas State game in the bye week.
There's not too much stress, but then again, like I said, Malzahn plays everything one game at a time, and that's why we the people can relax. Are you smirking at me because I said we the people?
Yep.
Yes, I did. Okay.
Yeah, it's been said by a lot of other people, and I just echo their sentiment. I don't ever feel like, especially after last year, that Malzahn's going to let his team go into a game ill-prepared.
No, that would be foolish. He wouldn't be worth the money.
That he's going to try to have them as prepared for every scenario as best as they can.
Mm-hmm. Well, and this is a man who said, if he was when asked what he would do if he couldn't coach football, he would say he said he would be broke. Okay, that means no matter what the opponent, this is go time for him. This is where he earned his paycheck.
Right.
So yeah, I look forward to it. It's on ESPN2. The Ocho, just go watch it. Actually, I've done the math. I think I can justify the SEC Network actually being ESPN8. The Ocho. I think it can happen now. I'm writing my letter.
So one last thing before we wrap up this evening that I just wanted to kind of get your thoughts on. I read a report earlier today that Florida State is officially going to begin their investigation, Title IX, all that good stuff, into Jameis Winston.
Which part of his crimes? I'm sorry.
I'm not really sure.
What was it? Was it the bad touching on the girl or the crab legs? Because one's more important than the other.
I didn't dig real deep. I didn't.
He's already. I think the crab legs have kind of played out at this point.
I was actually in Auburn. I didn't get to watch really much of the games. I caught some replay Sunday. I caught the replay of Alabama West Virginia.
You came over and caught the last six minutes of Alabama West Virginia.
I got to watch Saban giving Kiffin the cold shoulder, and that was freaking funny.
All right, here you go. From USA Today, Florida State is proceeding with a school investigation of Heisman Trophy winning quarterback Jameis Winston related to the alleged rape of a fellow FSU student in 2012. An attorney for the woman told USA Today Sports. And this came out about 47 minutes ago, at 7:45.
So, okay.
And there's been some other...
Here's what's hurting my brain about this. This case is almost 2 years old now.
Right, that flags it already for me.
That makes it a cold case, basically. More or less. And then keep in mind, like a year ago, he was excused by the Florida Attorney General, who was wearing a Florida State tie when he excused him or said there was no case, whatever. Okay, then Florida State is investigating it. Really?
All right.
Because that sounds to me like, is there a clue over here? No clue over here.
With, celebrities, not using air quotes, but, people who...
They can hear that on the microphone.
Yeah, I know. Well, they can hear me say air quotes.
The whoosh.
Whoosh. That's everybody here in Fort Payne, Alabama. but when you have somebody who's in the spotlight or whatnot, and especially for football players, sport, athletes, people come out, this happened X amount of years ago.
Mm-hmm. Well, and
did it really? It's possible. Absolutely. It could have. And if it did, definitely needs to be investigated and should be brought to light. But...
Well, and admittedly, this is the internet age where everyone's, got an opinion, and their opinions are like buttholes. Everybody's got one, and they usually stink. Just the unveiling of the... wasn't it Ray Rice statue today? Did you see about that?
Oh, I missed that one.
Oh, gosh. Everyone's just like, they give a statue to a murderer. That kind of thing. I took the high road. Because it's him, doing his, going on the field, whatever, you just scream, get ready for the game. They have actual fire shooting up behind this statue. I don't know if it's permanent. I kind of hope it is. But I just decided to put in the Old Spice body, body wash, odor blocker, explosion, and dog caps because Terry Crews is my dog. I took the high road. Terry Crews, you are welcome to come on the show anytime.
So, like I said, just want to get you guys' thoughts on that. It'd be interesting to watch it play out a little bit, see if anything happens.
Or if
this is just Florida State because they felt pressured to do a Title IX investigation.
They're going to
run this through, and then nothing's going to change.
See, and I feel like that's mostly more of like one person was complaining because most of us have basically gotten to the point in society where like, if there's smoke, there's fire, but we can't prove it, so we're just going to acknowledge the fire and hope he messes up in his own season.
The vocal minority, like I said, one person starts...
One complaint equals 20 million people.
And because it's a higher profile, they're the defending national champions, you got your...
Yeah.
Right.
You're a
Heisman winner, and all of a sudden, it's okay, let's do our due diligence here and investigate, see if there's any...
Yeah. Yeah, people
didn't see these claims. If there are, we'll go from there. If not, they'll be dismissed.
Well, we'll keep track of it, and probably if there's anything comes on it, we'll comment either on Twitter or in our next podcast when we get together again. But as we close up today, Will, is there anything you want to plug? Anything you got going on? People might be interested to know.
No, I think I'm good. Thanks for having me, guys. It's been fun.
Thank you for coming on. You're welcome to come back anytime.
I got my invite on the podcast.
There you go. There you go.
He's just going to jump in.
Hey, yep. That's great. And Ben, how about you, man?
Let's see. Well, I did. I may have mentioned it last time, too. I had a recent episode come up of my show, Unimportant Radio, with two sisters who I've been wanting to get on there for a while. It was a good episode. And Chris, you said you were working and then listened to it and then just stopped and listened.
I did. And I don't know if it's both sisters, maybe one and a half sister.
Well,
one of them definitely checks out.
And it's not that she was bored or anything. She was actually, this was very impromptu. I just want everybody to know that. So, but it's a good one. It's only about 30 minutes, this one, but give it a listen because it was a really fun episode to do. Mm-hmm. And we're working on another one coming up pretty soon as well. So,
Awesome. Again, go visit College in Magnolia. Good stuff there. Again, thanks to our unofficial sponsors. Who's that to be again, Ben?
That would be Mountain Dew, Do the Dew, and Daylight Donuts. We don't serve you in the nightlight.
There you go. And as always, find us on War Eagle Sports Radio for Will, Ben, myself, War Eagle, guys.
War Eagle. War Eagle.